ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Jared?
Yeah?
Did you happen to catch the 30 for 30 called Shark?
Shark? No.
Oh, man, you're going to have to watch it.
I'm scared of sharks.
It's about Greg Norman.
Oh, that shark. No, I have not.
Oh, man. I should have asked you this yesterday. That way you could have watched it.
Well, I watched Brooklyn get swept last night. It's what I watched.
Yeah, we could talk about that too. So I wanted to talk more about the shark.
Okay.
And the reason I want to talk about the shark is one that 30 for 30 was awesome. Awesome for me. I can't imagine it be awesome for him having to relive all that stuff, all those terrible breaks and beatings and meltdowns that he took back when he was in his prime as one of, if not the best golfer on the planet. But he's in the news for other things.
Really? Nowadays, I haven't noticed.
Nowadays, he is the spearhead of the LIV, the Saudi Golf League.
Oh, really?
Yes. And one of the most popular names in golf applied to join them in London at the first LIV golf tournament yesterday.
Right.
Phil Mickelson.
I saw that.
Now,
but that wasn't the headline for me. But
what was the headline?
Well, that Tiger and Phil have basically registered to play in the PGA.
Yes, I just got this sent.
But doesn't mean they're going to be there. But it means it's kind of like, in case we want to, our names are on the docket.
So it brings up the question that I have on the sheet. Who's more likely to play, Tiger or Phil? And here's another question. With Phil's dalliance with this Saudi thing, I don't think there's any doubt he's suspended from the PGA Tour right now. The Augusta National, the Masters, told him to stay away. That's all clear with what has happened.
Right.
So the question is, will Phil Mickelson ever play on the PGA Tour again? Still, we'll talk about that at the end of the show. We'll save a little time for that. NFL draft, 2 days away. Let me ask you this. How long has it been since 2 days out? You're not sure who the number one pick is.
Great question.
Over the last couple of years, handful of years, it feels like the contract was already almost inked 2 days out. And then it was, okay, who's two? Well, if you knew who two, who's three? Right now, I don't know who's going to be number one. It's interesting. Where does the draft rank as a sporting event in your mind? Who do the Cowboys want to? Who do you want them to pick? Who are the first Sooners and OSU Cowboys off the board? Probably not Thursday, more Friday would be when we start looking for some of those guys, I think. Spring sports playoffs, we got tons to talk about. The Elks did what they had to do yesterday, beat Downs of Dixon to move on into the regionals on the baseball field.
Man, save some of those runs for regional, guys.
Girls golf, well, I don't know if it was really their fault or the other team's fault more. Girls golf regionals going on right now. They just teed off. The first players just teed off out at the golf course here, Elk City Golf and Country Club. We got softball and baseball regional assignments, baseball for the small schools, softball for everybody. That we can discuss here. And, oh, by the way, I'll probably be on the phone tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because.
I mean, we'll figure it out, but yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably be on the phone tomorrow because I will be en route to Cushing. Never have I wanted to go to cash so bad in my life. Turns out it's Cushing instead for the Elk City slow pitch softball regional.
Not that there's anything wrong with Cushing. But
no,
just a little bit of a drive.
Cushing's a fine place. One of the finest men on earth lives in Cushing. And so.
It's a bold statement there.
It is, but okay. He is a good
all
dude.
All right.
Anybody that knows Buzz knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
anyhow, so I'm sure I'll be a phone call away tomorrow. That'll be Big Elk TV for the softball regional tournament in Cushing tomorrow. It's a one-day affair. I think they were trying to beat what the possibility of weather up there on Thursday to be able to get that puppy in and not have to worry about the weekend.
Well, so, I'll tell you what, if they want to beat the weather, then just come on out here. We're not going to get any rain.
Well, that's a good point. And help everybody.
Sorry, I'm a little bitter.
More me than everybody else.
I want rain.
You know, it's funny. I'm looking over your shoulder. I was told today it wasn't going to be windy, and it sure looks like the trees are blowing around out there.
Well, I'll tell you what. I looked out when we left this morning. It was calm as it can get, but that'd never last.
Golf tournament started. The wind kicks up.
That's how it works, right?
So we'll talk about all the spring sports happenings either coming up or right now or yesterday.
I know exactly how to make it rain. I'll go wash my truck.
Well, that'd be fine, Jared.
It always happens. I wash my truck. Boom, rain.
What are you waiting on?
I guess I'm cheap. I don't know. I guess I'm lazy and cheap. Don't want to spend the money or take the time, but I guess I need to.
It would help a lot of people out.
It would.
If you would do that.
It's like when I wash my windows, boom, bird poops on it.
I'm afraid that's more likely than the rain at this point.
Yeah, I know.
Unfortunately. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of the ways. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The Paragon app has all things Paragon free to download. I'm talking about all three radio stations with KECO, Cool 94, us right here on KADS. You've got the Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. Will be hitting the website tonight at midnight, thepennynews.com. Check out this week's deals and the next week's deals. We'll be there at midnight. Big Elk TV on air tomorrow from Cushing with softball. We're going to have all kinds of stuff. Obviously, the baseball regional starting next Thursday. We'll have you covered there. Once the golf gets into the state tournaments, I'm sure we'll have some live reports some way, somehow, from Cushing for the girls, Woodward from the boys at Bowling Springs. I'm actually going to be going to Bowling Springs on Saturday, so I'll be able to give a preview, a course preview. I can't wait to see what's going on number 10. We got that picture the other day from Jeremy that it was under construction, completely blown up. Is it just a 17-hole golf? I'll be able to tell you on Monday.
I'm going through my mind of
number 10.
It's where
you hit it
back up to
you hit it way left off the tee.
Yeah,
you can't see the green.
Right.
And sometimes you get up there and it's on the green if you can hit it far enough.
Well, that's not
and
me,
it looks like you hit it in the junk.
I know number one. I'm just going through my mind of the map of the course.
You go
so
up. 10,
you're going back towards the clubhouse, right?
No, that's 18.
That's 18. What am I doing?
No, you go 9.
Then
nine is the short the par 3 way down the hill. Then 10, you drive up the hill into the trees.
Gotcha.
And get out on that other side. And then it doglegs way left. Hmm. If you hit it dead straight, you're going to be out in the junk because it's not very far. You got to hit it pretty far left to keep it the fairway. Anyway, last I saw, it was completely under construction.
Hey, you know what?
Like bulldozed. What?
They had what did they just have there? Like yesterday. The high school event.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, it came across my feed. I saw some of the smaller schools. They were up at Boiling Springs. I might reach out and see if I can find out what happened over there.
Okay. So everybody's regional. Girls' regionals are today.
Okay.
In multiple locales all across the great state of Oklahoma. One of them being right here. Elk City Golf and Country Club. Okay. I'm going to pull this up.
What do you got? Breaking news?
No.
Oh.
Tell Jared I'll pay for his truck wash if it means rain.
Power of radio, baby.
There you go. I imagine that's not the only person that would do that for you.
If it doesn't work the first time, just keep paying.
Just keep on, you wash your truck every day, except maybe pocket some of the money. All right, so the bye district is over. The Big Elks dominant yesterday against Dixon, which everyone knew it was coming. Dixon hasn't had a very good season. The Elks are pretty good. Game one, 30-0 in four innings. Elk City scored 20 in the first, 10 in the third. Drake Hughes, 2-for-4. He scored 3 times. Corey Culver was 3-for-4, knocked in 3, and scored 3 times. Jason Holder was 1-for-3 with 2 RBIs. I mean, it's down the list. Kai Keys, 4-for-4, scored 4 times, had 2 ribbies. Mason Price, 2 for 2. He had an RBI, walked, scored a couple of runs. Cash Mayfield went 4 innings on the hill. Jared, do you know how many outs 4 innings is?
How many outs?
How many outs to complete 4 innings?
Well, 4 full innings?
4 full innings.
Or 4.5?
Four innings. Him throwing 4 innings, how many outs did he record?
Help me.
4 times 3. There's 3 outs per inning.
Well, I thought there's 6 outs per inning.
He's on the hill. He's throwing.
Oh, I see. For him, for defensively.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So
it wasn't that hard a question. I think you made it harder in your mind.
I'm trying to find out your golf question. So, okay. I heard half the question. So, okay. 4. Okay. It's 21 outs?
No, 12 outs.
12 outs.
He threw
4 innings. 4 innings.
Got 12 outs.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
How many strikeouts of those 12 outs you think he had?
I'm going to go with 10.
12. All of them.
Oh, wow.
He struck everybody out in the first game. So 30-0, then 14-0 was the second game.
How many pitches?
50, I think it said.
Oh, okay.
I've actually got that. Just 1 second. Yeah, 50 pitches, 39 strikes. So almost 80% of the pitches he threw were strikes. Second game, 14-0 over Dixon. The hitting stars in that one, once again, Corey Culver. Man, he had a day. 3 for 4 in the first game, 3 for 3. In the second game, knocked in 2, scored 3 times. Jaston was 2 for 3 with 3 RBI. Max Trotter, 2 for 2. He knocked 1 in and scored a run. Mason was 2 for 2 in the second game as well with 2 RBI, and he scored twice. So 14-0, the Elks get the win. Cooper Church was on the hill, struck out 6 in 3 innings, gave up 2 hits. So the Elks move on easily into the regional tournament that will be starting Thursday of next week. So May 5th, 6th, and 7th. Will be the regional tournament right here at Ackley Park. First time since 2002 that the Elk City Elks are hosting the baseball regional. It's like pulling teeth, but I've been trying to talk J-Mac into coming in here with us. Hasn't worked yet, so kind of putting out the public plea. If you see him, somebody try to talk him into it.
Good luck with that.
Now he might just sit there and look at us. So this may have to be a video one to actually prove he was here.
Not even over-exaggerating. I think I've only heard him say 10 words ever. I've seen him shake his head a lot and make some gestures. But if he called me from an anonymous phone line, I wouldn't know it's
wouldn't
him.
Know who it was. So we're working on that. We'll see what happens. But we know that, you know, we'll be there, obviously, for those games next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Some of the teams that could be here, depending on by-district results, which I didn't look to see if anybody else played yesterday.
I don't think so.
I think everybody's playing Thursday.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah. That was just a special scenario where Dixon was ready to play those games and be done, quite frankly. And so I think we won't know that. But some of the teams that could be out here, pretty interesting because I'm going, God, the years get me messed up. But I think there's a very real possibility that the coach of the Elks last time they hosted will be here with Bing.
Wow.
You might know. Who was the coach of the Elks when you played him? Was it Streeter?
I believe it was.
Or was it? Anyway, I can't remember.
Start throwing names at
me. I can't remember
me.
The years. Coach Morris, is he still here? Williams, Streeter? I think it was Streeter.
I believe it was.
So anyway, he could be here with Bing. Let's see, Lone Grove, if the seeds, quote-unquote, hold, it would be Mount St. Mary's being in Lone Grove. So we'll see how those by-districts end up there to come out this way. But we do know the Elks will be there Thursday of next week at Ackley Park. I mentioned girls' golf. Regionals going on. Clinton and Elk City are here. Weatherford's at Kingfisher this morning. And so top three teams advance. Then you have top three individuals, and there's like five medalists that aren't on teams or something like that. There's a lot of different stuff going on there, but I do know top three teams advance to the state tournament. I think the Elkettes and Clinton both be right there in the running for that. And then softball, I mentioned, will be at Cushing tomorrow with Elk City. Other teams in that regional, Elk City will play Cushing at noon. They scooched it back a day or scooched it up a day. And the times are a little bit different. It was going to be a 1 o'clock start on Thursday. Instead, it's noon. So if they go kind of the same way, it'd be noon for Elk City and Cushing. Plainview and Broken Bow are the other two teams there. They've set aside like an hour 20, I think, or an hour 15. So, you know, 12, 1:15, 2:30, depending on the wins. If Elk City would win the first game, they'd be at 230 with a chance to advance to the state tournament. And here's the deal. In those softball regionals, two teams advance. Because they're just they're just four-team regionals. And there's just four around the state.
I failed to realize that.
So two teams advance in the softball. Now in the baseball, the small schools baseball, only one team will advance out of those regionals. And Canute Trojans are hosting.
Right. Oh, you didn't pull that up?
I've got it written down. I thought maybe you had it. I need to take a drink of coffee if we're being real honest. I was about to
choke. I'm going off of memory. They've got they open with Laverne. On the other side, it's Moreland. And Don't Tell Me starts with a D, I think.
It does start with a D. Ends with a Rummond.
Oh, Drummond. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's on Thursday.
Yeah, you've got number one, Canute, against an unranked Laverne at 11 o'clock, unless these times have changed, which I haven't heard anything about time changes here.
Haven't heard anything.
So you've got...
Remember, it doesn't rain out here.
You've got 11 o'clock there. You've got Moreland and Drummond next. The winners of those games will play at 4. Losers play at 6:30.
On Friday.
No. On Thursday. Two games on Thursday, irregardless of what you do. Then you start Friday to see if you can punch your ticket to the state tournament. Some other teams, so you got Canute.
Real quick, what hole was that in Boiling Springs you had a question about?
10.
I'm on it.
Okay. Number 10. So Canute, number one, as I said, unranked Laverne is their first opponent. And then Drummond and Moreland are 16 and 17 in the Class A rankings. So we'll see, the Trojans been number one all year long. They've been very, very good all year long. Some other teams from around the area that are in the Class A baseball regionals. You got Sterling and Snyder down. This is at Sterling. So Sterling, Snyder, Navajo, and Hollis are in one regional. Arapahoe Butler and Shattuck will head to Pioneer. Pioneer, Pleasantville, and Woodland are the other two teams in that one. Visay making a long trip to Tushka.
That's a long trip.
I mean a long trip.
Visay's been kind of my dark horse.
Visay's number 10, Tushka number 7. They're the ranked teams in that regional with unranked Oklahoma Christian and unranked Velma Alma. And Hydro Weekly makes a long trip, too, to Wright City. Wright City's number 8, Hydro's number 9. Gore and Wilson are the other two teams in that regional. Did I mention Arapahoe Butler? Yeah, them and Shattuck. Them and Shattuck are going to Pioneer. So not too terrible.
I like Arapahoe's chances in that one.
You know, it feels like just looking at the rankings – it feels like Arapahoe, Shattuck, Visay, Hydro.
All have a good shot. That'd be really cool.
You know, 6, 7, 8 are the ranked team or the seeded teams. That's not that much different than number 9 or number 11 or whatever. So, yeah, I think we may have a bunch of teams that have a chance there. In Class B, the Hammond Warriors are headed to Fort Cobb. It'll be Fort Cobb and Verdon first. Hammond and Asher are the other two teams in that four-team regional. Mount View Godibo headed down to Tupelo. Big Pasture is as well. So Tupelo will play Buffalo Valley first. Big Pasture and Mountain View Godibo will play each other. Sentinel headed to Caney. Number 5, Caney. A couple of unranked teams. And number 12, Sentinel. Sentinel will play LaFleur first. Laquiba Sickles is hosting. They've got Crimlin Hillsdale first. Tipton, New Lima, the other two teams there. And then Leedy Bison will be hosting a regional with Timberlake, their first opponent. Duke and Granite are the other two teams there. Granite number 10, Leedy number 7, the two teams ranked in that regional.
That'd be a good regional. Granite last night gave Canute everything they wanted.
I think Granite's pretty good.
Granite is pretty good. So, and of course, there's Leedy, and it's at Leedy. Yeah, that could be a fun regional.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I think all this action kicks off Thursday, weather permitting, obviously. By Monday, we'll know who has qualified for state, and really Friday morning we'll have a good chance. We'll know kind of who's in the catbird seat, needing one win out of two games, or you know coming up, because a lot everybody will play two games on Thursday in those baseball regionals if they can get it all in. So exciting time in the small schools as far as regional baseball. Then of course they'll have the state tournament at the same time that the larger schools are having regionals next week. So that could be a conflict for you, I can already tell. As far as Elk City, and if it could be, I said could be. It's a possibility of.
I just go where I'm told.
That's right. Now you said something earlier that I think we need to discuss. Do you want to take a break, or you want to talk about it right now? The Nets were swept.
Oh, we can take a break. Well, let's wrap up the high school with this. I'm still efforting hole 10 from a mom of a player that was there yesterday. I guess it was it would be two-way boys had
qualifier, regional qualifier.
Right,
that's right.
Up there at Boiling Springs, teams like Burns Flat, Canute, Eric had a team there. I'm just going local teams. Mangum had a team there. Navajo, Sayre. Cordell had two players there. Lady had a player there. So I reached out to a mom. I'm waiting for the answer.
That's right.
She said, okay, I'll ask him. So I asked, are you in contact with your son? Because I'm sure he's in class. But she said, I'll ask him. So, Canute, they were one stroke away from a team qualifying for state, but they did put a guy in. Zach Potter qualified.
As an individual.
As an individual.
To go to, well, that won't be to, state.
For regionals. Excuse yes. me. Excuse yes. me. Misspoke. Yes. Regionals. Yes.
So they will be.
Which is that? Cushing, I believe.
Nah, the state tournament's at Cushing.
No, yeah, the state. Where is it?
Regional is at that? Falconhead.
Yes.
It's down in Burneyville, which I know.
Burneyville's a new town I've never heard of. Where is that?
It's down south, like Marietta-ish. The reason I know this is because I had this conversation about where Falconhead was just last night. The Merritt Oilerettes are there right now trying to qualify as a team into a girls to go to.
Cool.
Boy, I don't know where they're. State tournament is. I can pull it up right here. Aqua Canyon, Guthrie. One of my least favorite golf courses on the planet.
Why? Too hard for you?
It's just a weird one. Actually, Aqua Canyon wasn't the weird one. It was the other one right there. Oh, it's North Guthrie there. What is that other one called? Something National. No? Cimarron National. Ugh. Cimarron National, you'd hit like a 5-iron off the tee so you could hit a 3-wood to the green on a par 4. Didn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, that, and I probably played, that got me all kind of confused.
And I probably played terrible, so I didn't like it very much.
That's the thing about golf courses. You like the ones you play good at. That's why I love Boiling Springs. I've always had a good time there because I have not sucked. Too bad.
I'm hoping that I'm kind of the same way, and I'm hoping that continues on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I played 36 holes. I don't know if my fat butt can make it. Good thing we have a cart. Yeah, we better have a cart.
That's always a plus. Yes. The mountains you have to climb there sometimes.
Pass out. All right, we'll be back to talk about KD getting swept. What?
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients with their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery. It's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street, in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise, we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. So KD got swept. I'm going to be honest with you. I was preoccupied last night. I didn't get to see much.
I said I watched it. I was going back and forth catching the score. And then I basically watched the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. Kevin Durant, what do you have, 36?
Yeah, I think he was in the 30s.
He was, yeah.
39.
Yeah, he had a meaningless three-pointer there at the end. But he did everything he could. But it just begs the question, would Ben Simmons have made a difference?
No. Ben Simmons isn't going to make a difference to anybody. You know why? Because he's never going to play again. He doesn't want to play basketball. I was pretty excited.
He just wants a paycheck.
I was pretty excited for what the Nets could be with Ben Simmons next moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to see it this year to kind of get an idea of how it might meld, but then you give him the whole offseason, you give him a whole season together, how good that could be, because I think he fits perfect into what they do, and he's a perfect type player for the guys around him. He can guard every position on the floor. He can't shoot, but he can cut. I mean, he doesn't need to shoot. They've got Seth Curry and Durant. You know what I mean? But he's enough of a threat, and then you get the thing sped up because he's so good in the open floor. It made a lot of sense why they would do that. Plus, Harden was getting fatter and fatter, and he wasn't wanting to be there. So move him and get a guy. The problem is they got a guy that doesn't want to play basketball.
That's the big problem.
Man, I got to tell you, listen, I'm not disparaging anything about the mental health stuff that supposedly he's going through. But man, if I was that guy, I mean, just trotting out there last night takes so much grief away from you than you're going to catch today by not playing. Just trotting out there and trying it, and then you can hold your back and pretend like it hurts if you're scared to death to be out there. You know what I'm saying? But at least trying, you can gain some brownie points from people. What he has done, I mean, the memes are hilarious. They're showing him in front of this is what he's going to be doing. It's like a picture he took in front of Call of Duty. That's all he's going to do is be playing video games, not playing basketball. It's, man, if you're in the Nets front office, how you've got to be scared to death about what might happen.
Yeah.
Because your coach is ridiculous. He's not even there. Durant's a flake. Kyrie's a flake. There's no guarantee. You might be left with Blake and all these old dudes. I'd be scared to death if I was Brooklyn. It's because of, you know, if you're Durant, if you're Irving, and you have the freedom to move like they do, and Ben Simmons is going to play, well, guess what? They're looking for a new situation, and it's funny, on the text line, how long until KD signs with Boston? I mean, resurrect those memes.
Well, that's set in stone. That's always going to happen. Anytime he gets beat out, he's going to get.
What was the title of it? Oh man!
What the player the his yeah
a new chapter a new the next chapter
the next chapter mm-hmm. It was a chapter 5. What are we doing here? Yeah, that's funny. Listen, I got a hot take about the mental health thing. Why didn't he come out and say that first?
He did last year.
But this time, though.
Oh, I think he really had a back. I think he had a back problem.
But then everybody just came after him from the top all the way to us. I mean, Stephen A. Smith, everybody, you know, and it was, in my opinion, a right opinion about, you know, come on. I mean, quit quitting. And then it came out last night. Oh, well, it's actually mental health because it's – so is that like, okay, we got to – is it the safe face or is it really a mental health thing? Why didn't just say that in the first place?
Because
say it's my back end, you know.
I think it was both. Here's the thing.
Just say it.
I think he had to say the mental health thing now because his back is healed.
Oh.
That's what I think.
Okay.
Because he had the back problem coming out of Philly during the trade time. And then, you see him out there warming up or, you know, cameras hit him, practice sessions or whatever. Oh, he looks like he's working. He looks like he's moving fine. I guess his back is okay. What's the deal? Oh, mental health. That's what I think happened.
Yeah.
I think he's scared to death to play.
Yeah.
And
we saw signs of that in Philly.
Well, Jim brought this up
last
yesterday.
Year in the playoffs.
You know, his LSU team didn't even make the tournament. He quit on them. He clearly quit on Philly. And now he's quit on, and he never even really started. Is it quitting if you never start at Brooklyn? He doesn't want to play basketball. And that's okay.
Yeah, listen, that's fine. That's his decision.
Mm-hmm.
But I get tired. I grow tired of just the beat around the bush mentality in all of sports. Just come out and tell us, why don't you want to play? Maybe you don't owe us an explanation. But just, okay, I'm done, I'm retiring, I'm, you know.
Money.
Yeah, he wants a paycheck, money for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good song written about that. That's what drives me nuts.
I mean,
we're all sitting here speculating. And, you know, if it's a simple answer, I just don't want to play, then just tell us. Okay.
Yeah, but if you say that, then you may not get paid. Other things there last night, the Mavs just destroyed Utah, 102-77. And then all of a sudden, look at Toronto. Toronto down 3-0. Embiid has a problem with his finger. Harden doesn't look interested to play. And Toronto's won two in a row, 103-88. Now they go back to Toronto for game 6. trying to become the fourth team to force a game seven after being down 3-0. The last one to do it was 2003 Portland. Nobody's ever come back from 3-0 in the NBA and won a series. Very interesting times, because of all the places for this to be happening, Philly is the most intriguing. Can you imagine that crowd, that home crowd, if this goes to seven? The nervousness that could turn into sheer anger if their team, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
This has all the makings of something just awesome. By awesome, I mean awful, but awesome nonetheless.
Yes.
So I'm rooting for Toronto big time to force a game seven. I really would rather see Philly win, because I think Philly versus Miami, Boston versus Milwaukee is what we want to see in the next round. I think that's the best four. Toronto's a cute little story, but I want to see Philly and Miami. And I want to see Boston. I want to see Milwaukee. It's kind of like the NCAA tournament. It'd be real fun for Toronto to pull an upset here. It'd be real fun for the Pelicans to pull an upset over Phoenix. But the problem is the next round isn't going to be any fun, because they're just going to get destroyed.
Well, that leads to my next question is, has the shine of these playoffs been taken off because, well, there was never a LeBron, now there's no Durant and company with Brooklyn, or do we still have enough star power to keep people, the novice fan, interested?
Heck yes, because it's going to be awesome.
Let's say the Raptors pull this off. Let's say New Orleans wins. Let's say, I guess you get any kind of star out of Jazz or Mavs.
Who cares about them?
Yeah. I'd like to see Ja Morant. They're kind of my dark horse team, Memphis. But, you know, the bigger name, the huge superstars, Durant, LeBron, and Kyrie, they're not there anymore.
Yeah, but you still got Curry. Still got
Curry.
I mean,
that's true.
Nobody talks about probably the best player in the league. You know, Giannis.
Yeah.
You know, the defending champs and Giannis. But nobody talks about it. Well, it's so easy to forget because they're
Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You know, and he's pretty quiet. He's not out in the limelight and all that kind of thing. You know, maybe to some people, but at the end of the day, the basketball is going to be so good in the East. Now, in the West, you know, the West had been way more intriguing in this first round. I think that goes away. And the scene clearly shifts East in the semifinals because of the quality of the teams.
Right.
You know, it'd be fun. Memphis, Golden State would be fun. But are we really looking forward to Dallas and the Pellies? Or Utah and the Pellies? I mean, it's got to be Phoenix. Phoenix has to get that thing done. Devin Booker or no Devin Booker. They have to get that done. And then you got, you know, that's a lot better matchup. And then Booker may come back. And then all of a sudden, now we're back to Phoenix and Golden State like we all wanted it to be. And then we're right back on track in the West, too. I think they've been a little underwhelming. But I say that, you know, Brooklyn-Boston was a sweep. And what was the combined point difference in the games? 10 or 12? Total for the series? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
4, 6, 7, and 1. And, you know, and some of those margins inflate at the end of games when somebody's trying, you know, fouling to shoot free throws. I mean, it's not like Boston just dominated Brooklyn. They dominated the last 5 minutes of all those games, and that's why they won. You know, but it's not like they just drilled Brooklyn to the wall every game. That's not even close to what happened. But they got her done in the end, for sure. Now, a long summer of trying to figure out what they're going to do with KD and Kyrie.
Boston seems like they play the best brand of team basketball.
Boy, they defend, I promise you that.
They just, you know, you got Marcus Smart, and, you know, you have Tatum. But overall, they just seem like the better team.
Well, they got better players.
Sure.
Listen, okay, KD and Kyrie were the best two. But after that, Boston's got about the next eight.
That's where I'm getting at. As a team. Yeah.
I mean, Brooklyn obviously had the two guys, and Curry could shoot it, but the way the team was constructed, Brooklyn was constructed to have three. and then they traded it away. But that's the problem. If you don't get the three that fit, then you're left with nothing outside of two dudes. And especially when you trade for a guy that doesn't want to play basketball. You know, that thing looks completely different if Ben Simmons is playing.
Yeah.
That, I'm not telling you that means Brooklyn wins, but it looks different. All right, let's go to the draft. Who do you think the Jags are going to pick number one?
Man, I'd have to reach into a hat full of names, pick one out, and I'd still sound smart. But all the experts will tell you it's probably going to be Walker.
It's kind of trending that way, doesn't it?
I'm hearing that Jacksonville, their front office can't even come to an agreement of who they want to take. So, I say Walker, but with a lot of doubt.
You know who's hoping it's Walker? Detroit. Because that means they can take hometown boy.
Yeah.
Aiden Hutchinson with two.
Right.
The Michigan star fit right into Detroit. That would help in a lot of different ways for them. I think it's going to be Walker. Here's why. The dreaded P word, potential. His upside, his potential is higher than Hutchinson's, in just because of the athleticism that he showed at the combine. I don't think it has anything to do with what he's actually done on the football field. Just when he had on his underwear and running up and down a football field. But I think that's what's going to happen. I think they're going to take Walker. I think that...
Well, listen, what you just said there could apply to a lot of these high draft picks is potential. Because a lot of these guys who are projected to go in the top 10, they weren't your household names in college.
Yeah, some were, some weren't.
Most weren't. Walker was just another guy on that dominant defense for Georgia, you know? He'd make a tackle, and there he is, Trayvon Walker. He wasn't.
He's darn sure not the name you knew.
No, but I'm not trying to take away how good of a player he is or was at Georgia. But you don't have your electric Heisman-winning skill player that's projected to go number one. I mean, it hasn't been like that, and kind of alluded to this. Hasn't been like that in years. Years. Yes. Which, then it goes to why will you watch? Because there's a lot of question in the first round, or why won't you watch?
Because it's the draft.
Yeah.
Because the draft is awesome.
And they do it right on a Thursday night.
So where does the draft rank?
In all of sports?
In all of sporting, as far as sporting events, where does the draft rank? Like, for instance, this year's Super Bowl had two teams. Well, you actually had a connection to one of them because of your brother-in-law.
Family connection.
And this is exactly where I'm getting at. Drew just hit it on the head. I agree 100% with this. Outside of the Cowboys playing in the Super Bowl, I'd rather watch the draft than the Super Bowl. For me,
okay.
I'd rather watch the draft than the Super Bowl. Unless the Dallas Cowboys are in it.
I get it.
Now, where does it rank total?
For me personally, watching sporting events, where is this
rank? Where is it at?
Oh, listen, Super Bowl's up there. Masters Sunday is up there. If I'm quantifying it down to a day.
You can have an event. It's all weekend.
I'm going through my head.
I mean, draft versus World Series.
Draft.
Okay.
That's where I would apply. If it was the Rangers in the World Series, sure. But yeah, draft.
So draft versus Super Bowl. You're watching the game.
I'm watching the game.
Okay.
I know some people have draft parties. I know we've been invited to one, but I. By the way, I'm busy. Sorry. Practice. But it seems like everybody has a Super Bowl party, regardless of team.
That's true.
Everybody.
I think I'm in the minority here.
You like the drama of it.
I love it.
You love it.
I love the draft.
Now I'm getting, so I've already kind of ranked them. They're Super Bowl, Masters,
Final Four, or Draft.
Draft.
Isn't that crazy though?
Now go to college football. Now I almost get more excited. I think what I'm equating this, your excitement to the draft, is how I get excited on Labor Day weekend, on that Saturday. A first real, and in here the last 10 years, we've seen some awesome week one matchups.
Matchups, not games. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, it hasn't lived up to what we hoped it would
be. But the hype, though, that like, okay, I'll sit down, I'll watch Oregon play Auburn in Jerry World. I'll sit, yeah. Obviously we're going to watch OU, we're going to watch OSU, whoever they play, because they are our state schools. I'll watch, how does Alabama, are they going to trip up? Are they ever going to trip up against whoever they're playing in week one in some neutral site? That day as a whole. So that ranks up there for me, too. But yeah, the draft is up there. I'd say my top five. Day one of the draft. That Thursday night. I will sit down and watch
it. It's cool.
I will sit down.
Isn't it in Vegas? Watch it. It is in
Vegas. It is in Vegas.
So this could be even cooler.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming.
Oh, here's one. Okay, here's a list right here.
We got a list. I can't log in.
We got a list here. Draft 1, OU Texas 2, Masters 3, NCAA Football National Championship 4, Super Bowl 5. We have another list. Super Bowl 1, Women's College World Series 2, Draft 3.
It's a great one. That's a great one. The Women's College World Series is climbing my list.
I've got Masters 1. Boy, draft in OU Texas is close.
Yeah, I felt remember OU Texas.
That one's close. And the week, just the, but the, I think the opening weekend of college football is great.
Because
you wait for it for so long.
Yeah. Like, just as a fan, an overall fan of the sport, I think that's the question we're asking. Now, the OU Texas thing, that's obviously going to be up on some people's list and others because of
Who your
allegiance
you root for
to
and all
who
that.
You root
no
for
doubt.
And how you feel about it. And, you get those butterflies in your stomach, right before kickoff and the entire game. And, but as a fan overall, for the reasons I mentioned, that's why college, that Labor Day Saturday is up there for me. Draft is up. I mean, I look at the draft the same way. Obviously we're Dallas Cowboy fans, but we're interested in where does this guy go? Why? Wow, they made a trade. Whoa!
I mean, isn't that the greatest?
That
yes.
Jingle, you hear it, and whoa, we got something going on here.
And it doesn't.
The commissioner gets booed every time.
It doesn't. Awesome. It doesn't feel like Adam Schefter has ruined the draft the way that Woj and Shams have ruined the NBA draft.
Yeah, where you knew right. Yeah.
Way before.
Yeah, and I try to stay off of the Twitter sphere.
This is a good point, too. And the
now
draft,
that we stream all our stuff, we're behind just enough. Yeah.
The draft also has that buildup. The end of the college football season, then you have the combine, then you have 2 months to talk about it.
Yeah, the timing is perfect for
it
the
is.
Draft.
It
yeah.
is. That's akin to that first weekend in college football to where – you're waiting. You're waiting on the buildup all summer long. That's where the draft kind of has that same feel to it after the combine. Then you just hash and rehash.
Right.
Yeah, Dakota, the NBA draft stinks because it's always four picks ahead on social
media.
That's
what I'm
saying. Exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And somehow the NFL has either told Shefty not to do it or they're better at not getting that information out there,
I think it's a little both. I think Shefty understands – if I want to keep those channels open, I can't blow this up, so I got to let them announce the pick, not me.
That's right.
Because if I do that, then they'll say, you know what? We're not giving any more info. His insiders.
Who do you want the Cowboys to pick?
Well, honestly, I've not paid enough attention to know. Who was the guy we kept seeing? It was video sent our way. He was like in Northern Iowa. Am I wrong?
Penning.
Is that the guy?
So Drew wants Penning. I'm not seeing Trail. Well, he's at 14 in this one. Yeah, Northern Iowa.
Well, are the needs defensively? Because the defense took dramatic strides last year.
I think a pass rusher would be nice.
Yeah.
I think another linebacker would be nice.
Are they in need of a wide receiver?
I think a wide receiver would be nice. And then offensive line.
Yeah.
I think realistically, with who could be there, this mock I'm looking at has Devin Lloyd, linebacker of Utah. I think that'd be awesome. He is a superb athlete. And would fit like he would be allow things for Micah Parsons to do.
That would be complimentary to Parsons if you get somebody like that. That'd make him so much dangerous.
I think realistically, though, you know, it's going to be the most boring pick ever, and it's going to be a good one. If he's there, which I think he is, you see it in a lot of these. I want him to take Tyler Linderbaum from Iowa. He was center at Iowa, play guard. That's who I want. Because I just don't think the really good depending on what you think of maybe Chris Olave, if he's there, or Treylon Burks from Arkansas, those guys. But I would prefer an O-line, or if by some miracle of God, Kayvon Thibodeau dropped all the way there, obviously you'd start having to think about moving up. Dakota talking about Kansas City, Jameson Williams and Stingley. I love Stingley.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
I love Stingley. I think he's a little bit his stock being where it's at, and it's all over the place. This one has him going number three to Houston, so you know that's higher than most. But I think a little bit of his wavering or whatever from teams is he was so good at as a true freshman on that incredible LSU team. Think about who he went against in practice.
Yeah.
Chase, Jefferson, all those guys. I think he got bored. But, you know, the COVID year happened. He's been hurt. He's only played like three games over the last couple of years. But even then, I think he just got bored.
Yeah.
He's looking around going, wait a minute, I was covering those guys that are dominating the NFL. Who's this chump? You know, I think he's going to be awesome. So, for me, I think he'll end up being the best player in this draft when it's all said and done.
Still, the distraction's over, and now all eyes are still on Cleveland and Baker and what happens if anything happens between now and the draft. And does that change things for what Cleveland is projected to do, or whoever decides if it happens? I mean, it'd be lightning fast if it happens. And some might think it'd have to happen before the draft, but who would pick him up? Baker, that is, or if a trade's made, or if he's cut or released or whatever. A lot could happen between now and, what is it, 7 o'clock Thursday, 6 o'clock?
Yeah, and even into the weekend, though, you know, the later rounds.
Yeah.
You know, get to a third rounder, and all of a sudden you hear a trade, and you're thinking it's going to be swapping picks, and it's, no. The so-and-so traded their third rounder or fourth rounder to Cleveland for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
You know, I think that could literally happen Friday night or even into Saturday.
Got a
prediction. So there you go. Friday night.
Yeah. Is that because the quarterback market this year is not as high, and you see we might see a lot of quarterbacks taken lower first and into that second round?
Well, I mean, if you're Seattle, let's say, just use a team that's been kind of linked.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather use the ninth pick overall on a guy that is way less of a sure thing than Baker? Or trade a third rounder for Baker and pick up somebody that can help in the first round? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And because I think with the quarterbacks being a little bit suspect, that's a move that a team would look at making. All right, listen, boys, we got three picks in the first two rounds. Let's try to help out the guy that we're going to trade for in the third. And then we don't have to waste a first rounder on a quarterback that nobody knows if he's going to be any good or not. So I think the lack of star power at the quarterback spot actually might help Baker get moved this weekend. In a normal draft where there's four or five guys that people think are first rounders, which it seems like there have been lately, then maybe not. But I think with this, the way that the quarterbacks seem to be, you know, for the first time, think about this, for the first time in a while, we don't know who the number one pick is 2 days out. And also, the quarterbacks aren't jumping up the board higher in these mock drafts than we think they should. If anything, they're kind of going down a little bit, you know? 2 weeks ago, you were seeing Willis sixth. Now, on this one, you see him 20th. Oh, my gosh, if he gets picked 20th to the Steelers, we won't be able to contain Jim's enthusiasm on Monday. But, so here you go. We just went 25 minutes on the draft without even realizing it. That's why it's so awesome.
Wait, he'd be excited about Willis?
Heck,
because
yes.
Because Pickett would be way up there, I see.
No, but he'd be he likes Willis better than Pickett anyhow.
I got you.
Yeah, he'd be pumped. And you know what else that ensures?
What's up?
Baker won't be
a
Steeler.
Baker won't be a Steeler.
All right, we'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
All right, let's keep with the draft. Who's the first Sooner off the board?
I think some people are kind of putting, I think it's down to two. Perrion Winfrey and Benito. But I would lean Winfrey. That's who I'd say. How about you?
This mock has Benito.
Has Benito.
Winfrey going in the third round. I'd actually seen one a couple weeks back that had Brian Asamoah as the first Sooner off the board. I think it's going to be Benito. Just because of where he's at, what he does with that.
Well, he's athletic.
The outside rusher, and you can use him. He's more multiple. I think if it's Winfrey, it's got to fit somebody's system more than Benito does, if that makes sense.
And that's another big part of this. It always has been. I've said it for years. It's who fits into a system.
Whereas I think you can mold Benito around a different system. Winfrey is one thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Both probably, they might, second or third, the first round thing. There was a bunch of hype coming out of the Senior Bowl for the possibility of Winfrey flying up the board. That didn't happen. I'm afraid they watched too much tape.
Yeah, he had a great Senior Bowl, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
They just don't look at one Senior Bowl and say, okay, that's where we're going to put you.
Yeah, watch too much of the tape and kind of
– where he grades out. And,
golly, where's he at?
Right.
How's he dominating this? What's he doing? Why don't we see him as much? And that was certainly a question Sooner fans had all year long with what he was expected to be. Who's the first poke
and
off?
Real quick side note, that's going to be a question. That's going to be a great debate. You're going to see, you know, and we said it yesterday, gradually we'll see this. We hope we see this defense improve under Venables, right? And then it's going to be, man, what if Benito played for Venables?
Oh, yeah.
What if Winfrey played for Venables? The what if? Mm-hmm. What if?
Sure. First Cowboy off the board.
That's a great question. I've found a mock, and I'm just scrolling down and scrolling down.
It says Malcolm Rodriguez in the third round to the Packers.
Okay. He was a name you heard a lot.
Malcolm Rodriguez is going to be a good player.
Yeah.
Just because he's always been a good player.
And that's a good organization to get into.
The other guys for OSU, Harville Peel will be drafted at some point. Interesting to see if Jaylen Warren gets picked in the later rounds at the running back spot, or if somebody kind of waits to try to sign him. You know, in a lot of situations, it turns out better for these guys really and truly not to be drafted, because then they can kind of choose their situation as opposed to being forced to go in somewhere. Dakota's listening. Kennedy Brooks here, seventh round to the Chiefs. It's a local name. I don't see Warren in this one. According to this mock draft, Oklahoma had like seven players. What's that streak? How many years in a row is it they lead the country in four players or more picked over, I don't even remember how many years it is, which is kind of surprising. But it is Oklahoma, and I think it's that four number that kind of eliminates some teams. The two schools that have dominated the first couple of rounds of the draft over the past decade, who do you think it is?
The first couple of rounds?
Yep.
I'd say Alabama and Georgia. Or LSU. LSU, even though they haven't been great, they still produce players. But Alabama is my
Alabama for sure.
Solid pick there.
Alabama for sure. The other one. So since 2016, Alabama has 11 more selections in the first two rounds than any other school. Number two is 16 ahead of number three. And it's not anybody you said. Smithy got it right.
What is it?
The Ohio State.
Yeah. They put him out there too. Yeah, I found this mock. I think we're looking at the same one.
On ESPN?
Yeah. With the 222nd pick, Jacksonville Jaguars select Grant Calcaterra, which is interesting. Did you read that article? Hmm. I'd love to have him back on the show and ask him some questions.
Boy, wasn't that interesting when we did have him on.
Yeah.
How different it turned out.
It was weeks later.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe not even weeks, but I'd love the inside info on that one.
Now, see, the Bear, I'm afraid he doesn't have this right.
What do you got?
Because, it shows players selected in the first two rounds since 2016. And Oklahoma's not on here. Well, I know they've done that. I know they'd have more than three. They've had three. Maybe it's not a rundown list. He was just showing different teams. People are asking him for schools. But number one is Alabama. Number two is Ohio State. I mean, I can think of four first-rounders off the top of my head. Five, six.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, they must have been asking him about certain schools and he put them in the list. But number one is Alabama. Number two is Ohio State. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I love the draft. I love it. Can you name the last first rounder from Texas?
No.
2015.
No, I don't know. Who was it?
Malcolm Brown, defensive tackle to the Patriots. Okay, so here we go. Since 2010, Alabama has had 38 first rounders. 19 more than the next closest, which is Ohio State. So they doubled them up. Since 2010, Alabama's had 59 first or seconds. Ohio State's had 23 in their second. That is baffling.
Crazy.
But then he comes down here and says Ohio State, I don't know. Then he says they've got 25 since 2016. What? Oh, it's 30. That's why I can't add. 59 minus 26 is 33, not 23. Okay, never mind. Sorry, Bear. Anyway, I just showed you. There's a reason. It turns out there's a reason why Alabama's winning all the titles.
Yeah.
They've had the best players.
Yep.
LSU's. If you put LSU, Ohio State, and Alabama together in the last 6 years, they've had 107 of the 618 players selected on day one and two, almost 18%. Everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!